Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Zoe Larson coming. Brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
Cool. Zoe's not here today, so Alex and Phoebe are with us. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Tell us all about yourselves.
Oh, gosh. All about.
Myself. Just talk about a show.
Person
really quickly.
Yeah. So Phoebe and I are creating a show, have created a show called My Name is Rachel Corrie with some other fantastic artists. And I'm the director and Phoebe's the actor. It's a one-woman show.
No pressure.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all we are at the moment because we've been working so hard on this.
Yeah.
Before we get into what it's about, there's obvious difficulties, obvious sort of challenges with doing a one-woman show or doing a one-person show. You know? But in this particular show, what have been the particular challenges for you? Wow. As a director and you?
Well, it's all new to both of us. Neither of us have worked like this before. Like, Alex is used to working with classes of like 26 uni students. She directs uni shows at UniTech. I've never worked on a solo show either. What have been the challenges?
I think the first little while was just working out how to do it. And
doing it would be the big challenge.
Yeah, that was the big challenge. And, you know, in the first week or two, it was just like stop, start. How do we actually tell the story? Because also it's My Name is Rachel Corrie is a verbatim piece. So it's collated from the journals and emails and diary entries of Rachel Corrie. So it wasn't written originally as a play. It's written as a, you know, like as a stream of consciousness sort of diaries. And so it's not obvious how to put it on stage. So we had a lot of fun trying to work out how to tell the story theatrically. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. It does leap once you work out.
Is it a fun story though? I mean, who is Rachel Corrie? For people who have no idea what a Rachel Corrie is?
Okay, go, Phoebe.
Rachel Corrie was an American, a young, white, American, middle-class activist from Washington State. And in 2003, when she was 23, she travelled over to Palestine to work with an international solidarity group there doing peacekeeping work and nonviolent resistance of the Israeli occupation of Palestine. And she was killed while she was there by an Israeli bulldozer. So, yes, very sad ending, very heavy, big, complicated content. But yes, the story is super fun because Rachel, as a person, was just wild. Like, she was just super creative, wacky, kooky, funny. Like, she's such a good writer. And so because all of the writing is from her life while she was living this vibrant, amazing life.
Was she a journalist as well, or was it just her writing?
No, she's a creative writer.
Well, yeah. So how did you get sort of exposed to that stuff originally when you were putting the idea of it, was it?
Well, the play was put together by the actor Alan Rickman and Catherine Viner, who is
Alan
a journalist.
Right.
Yeah, you might remember him from Snape from Harry Potter and, you know, other awesome films. But he's, so Catherine Viner is an extraordinary journalist. And so the play has been put together in a way that really makes sense and really flows and is really dynamic. But my understanding is that basically Catherine and Alan just sat down with piles and piles of Rachel's writings that her family bequeathed to these two, and that they edited it together and created this, you know, this piece. So they dramaturged it, basically.
Amazing the story's still so relevant. Much has changed, but nothing's changed in that situation, you know,
which is the heartbreaking thing about it, and also the thing that makes it important to do 15 years after she was there and was killed, you know. It's like, and all her passion about wanting it to stop and, like, you know, how the horror of what she sees is, like, doubled when you go, wow, that's still going on and it's been going on consistently over the last 15 years as well.
It is extraordinary.
It's such a curly and deep situation, you know.
I
think it's really hard for people on this side of the world, along like myself definitely included, just to kind of get your head around just the length of time
and it's complex and it's so emotional, it's really deep, and we've been researching like crazy but we still really understand that, you know, there's it's just more than we can get our heads around, and that we don't have a connection to it. You know, we're over here and we aren't, we have no connection to Israel or Palestine.
But I think that's what's so extraordinary about this piece, is that through Rachel, like, it's very intimate. It's her story, and it's all seen through her eyes. And there's no sort of fantasy around it in a way that a well-made play might take you through a particular story with characters. It's one young woman's perspective of this particular situation. It's about her passion for trying to do good in the world, and her deciding to go over to the Middle East, and her experiences. So there's no there's no veil around that. There's, you know, the idea, the reason I think we were so attracted to it is that it really just is just that one woman's experience, but it creates this opportunity for us to have an entry point into what is so complex, a really complex situation, and for us to have dialogue around that, and us to learn about this, and to not be afraid of how complex it is, because I think that's one of the things that's so easy for us to go, hey, it's too complex, I'm not even going to think about it.
What a great way to learn about it too, if it is. You are in the dark about it, you know?
Totally, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So whereabouts will it be showing? Can you be showing your play?
It will be on from tomorrow at Garnet Station's Tiny Theatre in Westmere. Mm-hmm. And that runs there until next Wednesday the 5th. And then next weekend, it's on from 7th to the 9th at the Pump House Theatre Coal Bunker Studio.
That's on the beautiful North Shore.
We also, just a tiny little plug, we've also got a forum, like a conversation with some amazing women activists, local and global sort of activists from Amnesty and some other activist groups. And we're having a conversation around the issues of the play, not necessarily Palestine, Israel, but also like, how do we do good in the world? How can we be activists in our own lives, locally and globally? And that's happening on, Phoebe?
On Saturday the 8th at 3:30 p.m. at the Pump House Theatre. So that's after there's a matinee show at 2 p.m. and then an evening show. So it's in between those two shows. So
And we also are giving 10% of our proceeds to Amnesty.
Cool. Yeah. So if people want to get tickets, they can get them from emberscollective@gmail.com. Is that right? Emberscollective.co.nz. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And once again, it's on the Tiny Theatre in Garnet Station from tomorrow to the 5th of December, and the Pump House Theatre from the 6th to the 9th. Thanks for coming in, you guys. Cheers.
Thanks so much. Bye.
That was Stage Direction with Zoe Larson Cumming, brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
I'm happier now. I'm happier now. Hold that thought, I'm checking into reasonings. Credit up on let go for waiting round in it. Creeping up on a trip that ain't right. Breathing into a boat that ain't mine. Hold on, I can see forever. Now I've got my heart on my sleeve. More than minimizing storm.
Stars. Checking into reasoning. Credit up on that girl for waiting around in it. Creeping up on a trip that ain't right. Breathing into a
Te Ara Ifiti, our beloved pink path, is turning two, and to celebrate, Bike Auckland is throwing a party. The second annual Light Path Festival turns the Light Path, Canada Street and the surrounding K Road area into a free, sumptuous community celebration. Enjoy car-free spaces brought to life by roving entertainers, live music, art, food and festivity. Be there with bells on, Saturday, December 1st, 5 to 9pm, with the festival parade kicking off at 6. For more info, head to bikeauckland.org.nz.
The Church, celebrating the 30th anniversary of their seminal album, Starfish. Don't miss Starfish, performed in its entirety, along with some of the greatest hits of the Church's incredible 38-year career. And now, due to popular demand, moving venues to the beautiful Auckland Town Hall. Under the Milky Way tonight. The Church, Starfish, 30th anniversary concert, this Tuesday at Auckland Town Hall. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster.
Can I use your Wi-Fi?
Yeah, password's on the fridge. You just got to sit in that corner over there.
Over here?
Yep, yep. And angle that way.
Sweet. Is this alright?
And face east.
How about this?
Do you know what? Actually, it's really good in the laundry.
End your Wi-Fi woes. Get awesome Wi-Fi in every room with Orcon and Google Wi-Fi. Stream, download, share and game seamlessly throughout your home with the best-in-class technology of Google Wi-Fi on Orcon. With their fastest fibre plan, only $99.95 per month for 24 months. Just search Orcon. Terms apply.
Throughout history, right behind you there's been a handful of perfect love affairs, all-time romances. Antony and Cleopatra, Romeo and Juliet, The Old Man and the Sea, and of course, Cointreau and Margarita. 2018 is the 70th anniversary of the Margarita, happy birthday, so there's never been a better time to celebrate this pairing for the ages. Make your margaritas with Cointreau and El Jimador tequila. Margarita loves Cointreau. Can you blame it? 100% pure, made from bitter and sweet orange peel essences. Cointreau is at the heart of cocktails.
She made Pharrell cry, and he's like, famously, very happy. That's right. Next big thing, Maggie Rogers, is coming to Auckland and we want you to be there. So grab your Simplicity B card and stay tuned to 95BFM all this week for your chance to win tickets. Don't miss Maggie Rogers, The Power Station, Saturday, June 1st. Tickets on sale midday Wednesday from Ticketmaster.
Questions are all around us.
Why do you yawn when other people yawn?
Learn.
Why am I going bald?
Learn.
What is the Matrix?
Learn.
Is BFM still relevant?
Learn.
Where'd I put my keys?
Here.
Magnets? How do they work?
Learn.
Find out all the answers with Ready, Steady, Learn. Every Tuesday morning with a guest expert from the University of Auckland. Ready, Steady, Learn. 9:40 every Tuesday on 95BFM Breakfast.
95 BFM, but you knew that.
January 24th, live at the Tuning Fork, 95 BFM presents Julia Holter.
Wind, 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 wind
It's 9:32.
BFM News Headlines.
Ifai Akine coming up in your news on the hour. A housing shortage in Auckland could be linked to an abortion rate increase. China's government stops a medical team claiming to have created the first gene-edited babies. And Australia cracks down on orphanage tourism. Whakarongo tonu mai, stay tuned for these stories in full, along with weather and surf at 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank
Laura's
you.
Here. Laura, tell us what's on the wire, the flagship current affairs show on BFM at midday today.
So today I am speaking with someone on pornography and how that is affecting our youth in terms of sex.
This is an awesome story.
I know, I know.
It's awesome.
Well, this organization only started about a year ago. And so I've just spoken with them this morning and it's really interesting. So you should listen into that. I'm also... Jen is covering the LGBT awards because there's been a difference this morning, recently in the voting. So the police have been voted in as the best organization for the year, and that's...
Which is a real affront to the people who asked them to rethink their involvement in the parade, isn't it?
Well,
the Pride Parade.
Yeah, it is, and it's really interesting. We're gonna find out today how that decision was made. Basically, who got to decide that? So it's gonna be very interesting to hear from that. And then in Australia, there's been a politician who's stepped down and is going independent because of the treatment of women in Parliament.
In Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's calling for 50-50 quotas. So yeah.
Well, unraveling, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? There, you can just see all the sort of the politicians who want to keep their jobs going. Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. Yeah, but then you don't agree with that at all. You can see it all written all over your face, mate. You know?
Yeah,
I don't know. Hey, but you never know. You know, in modern times, people are happy to accommodate and happy to move forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Just dragging our heels.
Okay, well, all that at 12.
And with that. Very good morning to you. Thank you, Laura.
want to try me?
Too busy to sit alone on my own. I try to sit down and meditate like a monk. My foot then starts tapping onto a diddy funk. To a diddy rhythm, I cannot keep still. I hit a blunt with the Philly. No, meat meal. My feelings are real, so emotional. Never back in the captain who trying to roll my boat. I sold the dope, I dropped the bag, you dropped the soap. I got the sauce, they got the soap. Trying to get the money, then I put it in a vault. Roll with a gang, they mistake it's for a coat. They just put it on the front while I'm putting on my coat. Represent a light side like a lightning bolt. Don't fuck with the fake ass friends. See you popping all around me, they just wanna be in. Talking all the shit, I do not pay attention. Got girls on the ground trying to show me their skin. Saying they woke, trying to quote some buzzy shit that I wrote. Looking for hope, they may look bad online, but they are broken to the rappers trying to fake the funk. Smoke weed and watch a whole career turn up. From the west side, like this, here I am. Rock up to the spot, like here I am. Fuck a colonizer trying to steal my land. I flick a middle finger till she heal my hand. You wanna burn a blunt, I wanna burn the flag. I'm swerving, a Z-dreadlock in a turban. I'm lurking, I'm plumbing under the sun. Going 100, I wanna wave, but I'm not surfing.
Son of a queen, I got the flow. Fuck up, I show dress the killers. I heal all these hoes. Me Nazi dress me like a vine. When I rhyme in the comma, my shell, and you already know. Fuck up the game, fuck up your crew. Tell them hello down from the underground, right these who roll. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow, it's infinite. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow, it's infinite. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow, it's infinite. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow, it's infinite.
Killing it. It's infinite.
That raw vibe, hit 'em like a 4-5. Risen from the north side, dripping in the source side. Vision in the force, till I'm ripping in the Porsche. Got the powers like the horse, you're the sour cause you lost. Pay the cost, take it out like a boss. Bounce back till I'm winning, driven and I'm willing. Only distracted by pretty women, got me chilling. Otherwise I'm catching rap bodies, trying to make a killing. Got the system trying to pick me as a villain. Cause the kids are feeling everything I'm spilling. With these words I'm drug dealing. Filling up the weed, that's a nigga's penicillin. I ain't numb to it, look at the world like what it done to it. If life's a bitch, I wanna run through it. Till she comes through it, not the type to put my tongue to it. You can to it. Like Neo, I'm the one, do this shit for fun. Wanna kill me, bring a bigger gun. Coming from the slum with the training up the hitters. Young niggas done wild and reckless. Run with your mom's necklace. Sectors are swarming with feds and inspectors. Detectives, so rich people feel more protected. Minds are infected, our shine is neglected. Time we correct it, I feel disrespected. Should've known that I was gonna come up here and wreck shit. Should've known that I was gonna come up with some next shit. Mellow and coupon, one hell of a noose. Two relevant use, medicine and juice just to set us loose. Clinical recluse, spiritual masseuse, lyrical Zeus. I ain't even reached my pinnacle, proof is in the pudding like a tiramisu. Could've spent a day, let alone a year in my shoe. If the only rapper I was ever hearing was you, I would have to hold my breath till I start turning blue. Hell full of shit, ain't got a clue. Feel like flashing niggas down the loop.
I do.
Kick it back up on it on my suit. Ain't nobody running it like you.
Nah.
Picking up my weapon, then I shoot. Never chatting nothing but the truth. Never chatting nothing but the truth. Said I'm never chatting nothing but the truth.
This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow is infinite. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow is infinite. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow is infinite. This is the realest shit that you have heard in a minute. I'm killing this flow is infinite.
Epicurus was apparently onto something. Being happy doesn't come easy. Despite our unprecedented achievements in the last few decades, it is far from obvious that contemporary people are significantly more satisfied than their ancestors in bygone years. Indeed, it is an ominous sign that despite higher prosperity, comfort, and security, the rate of suicide in the developed world is also much higher than in traditional societies. In Peru, Guatemala, the Philippines, and Albania, developing countries suffering from poverty and political instability, about one person in 100,000 commits suicide each year. In rich and peaceful countries, such as Switzerland, France, Japan, and New Zealand, 25 people per 100,000 take their own lives annually. In 1985, most South Koreans were poor, uneducated, and tradition-bound, living under an authoritarian dictatorship. Today, South Korea is a leading economic power. Its citizens are among the best educated in the world, and it enjoys a stable and comparatively liberal democratic regime. Yet, whereas in 1985, about 9 South Koreans per 100,000 killed themselves, today the annual rate of suicide has more than tripled to 30 per 100,000. There are, of course, opposite and far more encouraging trends. Thus, the drastic decrease in child mortality has surely brought an increase in human happiness and partially compensated people for the stress of modern life. Still, even if we are somewhat happier than our ancestors, the increase in our well-being is far less than we might have expected. In the Stone Age, the average human had at his or her disposal about 4,000 calories of energy per day. This included not only food, but also the energy invested in preparing tools, clothing, art, and campfires. Today, Americans use on average 228,000 calories of energy per person per day to feed not only their stomachs, but also their cars, computers, refrigerators, and televisions. The average American thus uses 60 times more energy than the average Stone Age hunter-gatherer. Is the average American 60 times happier? We may well be skeptical about such rosy views. And even if we have overcome many of yesterday's miseries, attaining positive happiness may be far more difficult than abolishing downright suffering. It took just a piece of bread to make a starving medieval peasant joyful. How do you bring joy to a bored, overpaid, and overweight engineer? The second half of the 20th century was a golden age for the USA. Victory in the Second World War, followed by an even more decisive victory in the Cold War, turned it into the leading global superpower. Between 1950 and 2000, American GDP grew from $2 trillion to $12 trillion. Real per capita income doubled. The newly invented contraceptive pill made sex freer than ever. Women, gays, African Americans, and other minorities finally got a bigger slice of the American pie. A flood of cheap cars, refrigerators, air conditioners, vacuum cleaners, dishwashers, laundry machines, telephones, televisions, and computers changed daily life almost beyond recognition. Yet studies have shown that Americans' subjective well-being levels in the 1990s remained roughly the same as they were in the 1950s. In Japan, average real income rose by a factor of 5 between 1958 and 1987, in one of the fastest economic booms of history. This avalanche of wealth, coupled with myriad positive and negative changes in Japanese lifestyles and social relations, had surprisingly little impact on Japanese subjective well-being levels. The Japanese in the 1990s were as satisfied, or dissatisfied, as they were in the 1950s. It appears that our happiness bangs against some mysterious glass ceiling that does not allow it to grow despite all our unprecedented accomplishments. Even if we provide free food for everybody, cure all diseases, and ensure world peace, it won't necessarily shatter that glass ceiling. Achieving real happiness is not going to be much easier than overcoming old age and death.